Tour Junkies.
What is up, golf addicts? Thank you for downloading the Tour Junkies podcast. Please hit the subscribe button if you have not done that. We do appreciate you guys subscribing to the podcast. It helps us out. As always, we are going to break down this week's action for the Valero Texas Open 2017. Before that, we recap the Heritage, the interesting events of Sunday, including the putter drop heard around the world, Wesley Bryant's Ron Burgundy quote, Pat acts like an old man, shocker there, and also ask the Asian man who delivers his food if he knows Hideki Matsuyama. Not sure if that gets picked up in the mic, but it's good stuff. As always, you guys are the best. We appreciate it. There's an iTunes contest here in the middle of the show. Make sure you check that out and help us there. You can win some nice TJ swag. A lot of new goodies in the TJ shop. You got to check it out. We've added a whole lot of stuff this week, and the old stuff's on sale. So get the old stuff on sale. Buy the new stuff. It's great. We appreciate you guys downloading the show. For now, enjoy the Valero Texas Open. What's up, golf addicts? David and Pat coming at you. We are refreshed, renewed, energized after our Masters hangover. The RBC Heritage behind us, and we look forward to the Valero Texas Open. And we're ready to just really grind it out tonight with your DFS advice. Everything you're going to need for one and done, DFS, whatever it is. We're going to bring it to you tonight. But first, let's recap the RBC Heritage. Pat, it was a fun event, as the RBC Heritage usually is, there at Hilton Head Island, right down the street from us. And the first South Carolinian to ever win the RBC Heritage, Mr. Wesley Bryan, local Augusta resident right now, by the way. Wesley Bryan, we knew he was going to win one of these days, and he was like the only one on the leaderboard Sunday that just didn't crap the bed. So he ended up winning. It was a fun Sunday to watch. What'd you think of the tournament, and tell us about your DFS week, your one and done, all that fun stuff.
Well, DFS week, the dry spell continues. So we'll just go ahead and get into that.
It was a decent, what's happening?
I don't know. I just,
cause here's the thing. We picked 19 guys. We only three missed the cut. We had some top 10s. We had seven guys in the top 25. We didn't, you know, it was easy to get 6 of 6 3. Like, what's going on, man? Like, what is happening?
It just translates through all parts of my life with this dry spell. But so, who are the three that missed the cut?
Luke List.
Okay.
I believe. Billy Horschel.
Billy Horschel.
And Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Ugh. I had all three of those guys as basically like core players in a lot of my lineups, which is the reason it was not a great week for me, because I had a lot of lineups with 5 of 6. But I think, you know, this week, as far as cashing, you really had to have 6 of 6 through. So that was one of the reasons right there. Those three guys I had as core players, and they totally screwed me. So mostly Horschel and Fitzpatrick, not so much Luke List. I may have had them in a small percentage of my lineups, but Horschel and Luke List, I mean, and Fitzpatrick were way up there for me. So they screwed me a little bit.
I'm sure you had lists in all the lineups where you didn't have Horschel and Fitzpatrick. That's probably what happened.
Yeah. Well, either way, it was shitty. But on the other hand, I did enjoy watching the tournament, especially on Sunday. I thought it was really good to see Wesley Bryan get a victory. We kind of knew it was going to happen, I think. I mean, the guy is just super talented. He's a great putter. This was a good course for him. And again,
course was made for him.
Yeah. And he was, you know, just the cream of the crop on Sunday. I mean, everybody just kind of fell off. Kisner was in the lead for a little bit. You had Graham DeLette, who just totally choked coming down the stretch. And I'll say that about Kis too. I mean, he didn't exactly light it up after he took the lead on the front nine. So,
yeah, his back nines on Sundays lately have not been stellar.
Just like Donald Palmer. I mean, again, just not good. And then Luke Donald sneaks in there for another second place finish. We talked about him last week, and he's had 4 second place finishes here. Well, and now 5 after this week. The guy if you have to take him at the RBC Heritage. There's just in Hilton Head, you just got to take Luke Donald. But he's not going to win, but he's definitely going to return you some value. So So there you go. But
well, you had Kiz in your one and done, which worked out nicely for you. I will say Fitzpatrick hurt me in a lot of ways. I had him as my one and done, which sucked. And I had a fair amount of him in DFS. Now, I still had a profitable week, but I could have had a really nice week had Fitzpatrick not trunk slammed. I also proudly won the Tour Junkies Fantasy Draft Listener League. Well, I didn't win it. I'm sorry. I was about to say second place out of 40. But congrats to Tar Heel something or another that won that league. That was a nice lineup. I knew I wasn't catching him. He had a pretty good lineup going there in Fantasy Draft. So if you guys are on Fantasy Draft and you signed up initially with Tour Junkies, our first week that we ran that contest, you get an invite to that every week. So check your inbox. It's the only listener league contest that we do every week. So we've got one up right now. It's already halfway full. Check it out. If you have not joined Fantasy Draft yet, you need to. So do that.
How about, before we go on, how about Wes Bryan's post-game or post-round interviews? Did you happen to see any of that?
I did. The Ron Burgundy quote, that escalated quickly, is going all over social media, which is funny. I love that he used that. But my favorite is the interview with Jim Nantz and Faldo at the end. And when he told him that on 17, he threw up in his mouth a little bit.
Like, yeah.
Which, to say that to Jim Nantz is awesome.
Yeah.
He's the most majestic. Like, you just want to be, you know, you just want to be on your P's and Q's with Nantz. But I love that Wesley was just himself, and I think he took him off guard because he didn't say the same thing every other golfer says when they're asked the same question after they've won or after they've won their first time. You know, he was real.
Yeah.
Love it. Refreshing. Love it, Wesley.
Did I not? I'm trying to think because it's been a year or so, but when I was talking about Baldo in the Masters, didn't I say something along the lines of throwing up in my mouth?
Yes, you did.
So
it is in the apology, which is still on iTunes. The apology only. It's like 3.5 minutes. It's way down there on iTunes. It's last May or June. But yes, you did say it makes me want to throw up in my mouth that Bowditch was in the field for the Masters last year. You did say that.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure. I couldn't remember, but I'm pretty sure he didn't get that from me. But maybe he did. Maybe he listens to the show.
But, you know, does live right here in Augusta, plays golf on all the courses we play on, you know. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool to see him win it. The course is totally built for him. Also, another storyline from Sunday is the Jason Duffner putter drop heard around the world.
That was
holy
crazy.
Crap. That I saw that happen live, like real time, and I'm like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Rewind, replay. I mean, the dude just totally slam dropped the putter. Caddy picking that thing up. I mean, that was pretty, it was rough. Now, Duffner's putting on Sunday was criminal. It was so bad. Criminal. Like, he should be waterboarded for putting that badly. He was missing two footers. Footers. Not three footers. Not five footers. Two footers. Tee to green, unbelievable. But that dude could not hit. It was unreal.
Do you think he was blaming his caddy for that? I mean,
no, you can't blame your caddy for missing a 2 foot putt.
Why do you do the putter drop?
I think he was just mad, and he kind of let it get the best of him. But I haven't seen a statement of like him apologizing or anything. He hasn't gotten on social media, as far as I know. I'm not sure. I did find out today, though, and this may be old news, but I did find out today from our buddy Patton Kazire that Patton and Duffner are teaming up for the Zurich. A couple of Auburn boys going to go at it for the Zurich Classic, which is coming up in a couple weeks.
Wow, so, I didn't hear this. Where was I on this group?
Patton said,
was I not on this group message?
You were not. Patton said, I will not be picking up his putter for him. I can tell you that much.
Wow. What? I mean, you know, I'd like to get included in some of these every once in a while.
Yeah, but then when you're up late at night, like after you've had too many glasses of wine, you start messaging these guys weird things, and it's just it's a liability, Pat. It's just, I mean, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I think a lot of the people out here know that it's a liability.
All right, well, I can appreciate that.
But anyway, I think that's enough for the Heritage. I think that covers the Heritage. A couple of quick announcements. We don't have a whole lot going on right now that Masters is over, but we did want to let you guys know that there is some fiery stuff going on in the Tour Junkies shop right now. Pat, I'm just going to navigate myself right here live and to the website, to the shop, tourjunkies.net, click on the shop. First of all, everything that we've had in the website is basically on sale. We're trying to move it. We're trying to get it out so we can kind of restock, replenish here, if you will. So the older t-shirts, the hats, and the sizes that we have left, and we have some limited quantities here and sizes available for the old stuff, is on sale right now, tourjunkies.net. If you click on the shop, and my freaking internet will not load, so I can't see, I can't remember the prices.
Hey, and while you're doing that, just give me a second. I'm gonna leave you on your own for a second here.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm in a hotel room and there's an air conditioner going and it's messing up my sound quality. And I know how mad you get when it's kind of crappy. So just give me 1 second.
All right. Well, I've got the website up. So here we go. You can get the Garden City t-shirt, which is the green and yellow, for $17, was $24. The same thing with the vintage Golby t-shirt, the gray with the big Golby head, is also $17. You can get the Patriot Golby for $12. You can get the original black and gray monochromatic TJ snapback for $25. You can get the red Golby New Era 940 standard hat, no flat bill for you boys like Pat who don't like the flat bill. That's only $20. And all those items are on sale right now, and when we're out of them, we are out of them. But we also have some new stuff in the store that is freaking fire. Of course, we released the Pod Bros t-shirt a few weeks back. It's $24. It's Baldo and Beef and Kiz and Willie and Jay Pete and Patton and Golby. It's a great shirt. It's the district-made shirt in material, so it feels really nice. It's a good classic fit. Not too tapered for you husky boys. And then we've got two new hats in the shop that are standard bent bill mesh back hats. They're not flat bills, so Pat can wear them.
They're great.
They just say TJ on the back, on the front. Those are only $18 a piece. We've got really awesome ball markers. Like, you just have to see these ball. I can't even describe them to you, but they're Golby head ball markers. They're $6.50 a piece. And then we just added a new incredible item to the store today, and we have 9 left right now, and that is the Dormy head covers leather Golby driver head cover that is just fire. It's genuine leather, and it has squirrel fur on the blindfold and the one. Dormy, the guys at Dormy are freaking brilliant, and they made a jam up head cover.
Great.
And normally these things sell for like $70-$80. We're selling them for $60 a piece. You need to get one. We have 9 left right now, so do that. And then we've got polos that'll hit too. So if you're listening to this, we hope to have the polos up by tomorrow. So they're really nice. They're like a, you know, sporty blend. They feel good. They're stretchy, a little bit stretchy. They're cool in the hotter climates. They're a classic fit, so you don't have to, you know, you don't have to worry about them being like trim fit or something. They're a classic fit, and really nice looking shirts with a little Golby embroidery on the pocket there, or not the pocket, but the chest.
They are
a lot of new TJ swag, and we would really appreciate it, guys, if you guys would buy some of this stuff. It would help us out. We do all this crap for free every week, and to be able to make a little bit on this thing and market a little bit, we would appreciate it. That's just a hard ask right there for all of you.
Well, and the polos are great. I love them.
The polos are very nice. Yes.
Very comfortable. And you know me. I mean, I'm very particular about what I wear.
Yeah, you are. Very OCD.
So they're great.
By the way, my wife, I wanted to kiss her yesterday. It was Easter. I'm asking her, you know, because the women care about what everybody's wearing for Easter. They want the kids to coordinate, and everybody's got to coordinate and all that stuff. And I'm like, what shirt do you want me to wear, babe? Normally, I pick out my own clothes. I like to pick out my own clothes. I'm like, what shirt do you want me to wear? And she's like, oh, just wear this one. And it was the Navy TJ Polo. And
I was like, hey,
you want me to wear the Tour Junkie Polo on Easter?
I'm going to get my food now.
What food?
Hey, how are you?
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm supposed to give you that? Yeah, hang on, I'll be right back, David.
Thank you so much.
This is very unprofessional. Hey, ask him if he knows who Hideki Matsuyama is.
Hideki? Do you know Hideki Matsuyama? Yeah. No? Okay.
What about Ryo Ishikawa?
Ryo Ishikawa. Yeah. Where's he from?
Tennessee?
No.
Okay.
No. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to receipt? You need to sign this?
Yeah, sign. Right.
Just waiting on Pat. Okay, so Pat's getting his food from...
I think he's from this area, though.
Asian people?
Yeah.
Korea?
Yes, I don't know. All right.
Say it. Okay, I don't know if any of that will come through on the podcast because you probably weren't doing it into the mic.
No, probably couldn't hear me from the mic.
Oh, God. Why don't you take the mic with you?
It doesn't travel that far.
All right, anyway, back on task here as you get ready to eat your dinner. There's a lot of fresh new stuff in the TJ shop. We'd love for you guys to check it out. We've worked hard on it. It looks good. It's good quality. We're not making a killing off of it, but we would love to get paid a little bit for the labor. That's all I'm saying. And with that, we are going to have a contest right now. Pay attention. If you listen to us on iTunes, if you listen to us through the podcast app on an iOS device, which we know most of you do because we see the numbers, we're going to do a contest. We need iTunes reviews. We are asking for iTunes reviews. We do it all the time, and they trickle in, but we want a surge of iTunes reviews. We want you guys to leave us honest reviews, and we read every one of them, and we appreciate them right now. So here's what we've got, Pat. In the history of our show, we've accumulated 238 iTunes reviews, 5-star rating, by the way. I want to get to 338, so I want to add 100 iTunes reviews. When we get to 338, we will sort by the most recent, and we will go back through every single one of those reviews and pick an iTunes Apple ID from those next 100, and whoever we pick is going to get a t-shirt of their choice from the shop, a hat of their choice from the shop, a polo of their choice from the shop, and a ball marker of each. We have two different ball markers. So that's a lot of TJ swag. You're going to get all of that just for taking 4 minutes and leaving us an iTunes review. That is all it will take, 4 minutes. Only the next 100 people that leave us a review, please go do that right now. We appreciate it. That's it. Pat, anything else to add on that, or are you breaking into your chopsticks?
No, we're good. I'm gonna hold off on that. I just, you know, so okay. If anybody's wondering, I'm traveling, so I'm in a hotel room, and it puts me off with my OCD-ness and everything like that. It's just I'm off schedule, and so that's why you're getting what you're getting tonight. You're just, you know, it is what it is.
All right, thanks. All right, tweet of the week goes to our buddy Timothy Frank. Very funny guy. Really like the stuff that Timothy does. At Fantasy Golf Man is his Twitter handle, at Fantasy Golf Man. Timothy Frank, very funny guy, good Twitter follow, sharp DFS player. He says on April 13th last week, "What if I told you there was a terrible golfer who only played well once a year at the same course? An ESPN 30 for 30, the Luke Donald story." I love it. Great tweet.
I liked it too, but it doesn't... I mean, you know, he was former number one in the world.
Former. Like, dude, he was number one in the world when Bugle Boy was popular. Or like Dockers.
Bugle Boy. I can't even believe you remember totally, Bugle Boy.
Totally different. Okay.
All right, I'm with you.
Anyway, that was a funny tweet. Follow at Fantasy Golf Man if you don't already. He's funny. Pat, I think we're ready for the Valero. Are you ready for the Valero and the course breakdown and the weather, or do I need to do that so you can dig into your dinner for a minute?
No, I think I'm good. I think I got it.
Okay, let's get into the Valero right now.
All right, so yes, this is the Valero Texas Open. We are at the TPC San Antonio. The Oaks course, designed by Greg Norman, with help from your 2017 Masters champion, Sergio Garcia. You didn't know he was a designer, but guess what he is? And he helped with this course. Par 72, 7,400 yards, or a little above 7,400 yards. You have Bermuda fairways and greens. Again, this course, it's... A lot depends on the weather with how this plays, and so I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but it does tend to play as one of the more difficult courses on tour. It's very tight. I think this is another ball strikers course like last week. I think you got to hit fairways and greens. I looked at strokes gained off the tee as a stat category, and of course history and recent form. You know, if you look at the weather this week, they're getting a lot of rain today and tomorrow, so it's going to play soft. I think that's going to play into the hands of the Bombers a little bit. Wind is always a question here, but I don't see anything as far as the Thursday, Friday waves are concerned that's going to, you know, it's pretty much steady 10 to 13, 14 miles per hour winds all day on Thursday and Friday. And then Saturday, the winds are going to pick up a little bit more and then be pretty much in that 10 to 15 range on Sunday. So right now, I'm not really looking at the weather, you know, I'll look closely, you know, Wednesday, but right now, I just think the waves don't really matter. Now, we've seen it in the past really make a difference, like in 2015, when our boy Baudo won, you had a big difference in the scoring with the that was 2014 when Baudo won. When Walker won in 2015, the winds were incredible. And if you pick the right wave, you pretty much won money. But so we had Charlie Hoffman last year in 2016, Walker in 2015, Baudo in 14 was the winner, Martin Laird in 2013, Ben Curtis. What the hell? Ben Curtis in 2012.
NFL Ben.
Yeah, he used to love wearing those NFL stuff. Yeah. Brendan Steele, your boy, you love his swing in 2011.
Yeah.
And then Adam Scott.
That was his first PGA Tour win.
That's right. And then Adam Scott in 2010, who is not here this year, but there you go. Quick rundown by me. I know you've got more.
I like the weather. That's interesting. Yeah, you got Bermuda fairways and greens here, which is important. A little bit longer, of course. Than we saw last week. But yeah, very tight. I mean, slightly wider fairways than the Heritage last week, but not by much. So interesting to see that. I do think that we talked to the head pro at TPC San Antonio today, actually. Andy Cummings is the head pro there. He's been a head golf professional in the TPC network for around 10 years. We've got a little more detail that we're outlining on the shot in the arm for the Daily Marketplace right up on rotogrinders.com, but we are going to give you a couple of key pieces of information that Andy gave us today. And the first is that they have had a lot of rain, like you mentioned. It's not just been today. Andy said they had a lot of rain the last 10 days, that the golf course is a little more wet and a little slower than they would have liked to seen it this time. But they do think that the rain is out of the forecast. The wind will help dry it up a little bit. And by the weekend, he said they hope to have it a little firmer and faster. He also said that the rough, despite a lot of rain, he actually said the rough is a little shorter than it has been in years past. That was the only thing that he really mentioned was different than in years past, was the length of the rough. You know, he mentioned that, if the course does get firmer and faster, you know, your players are more likely to roll out through the fairway and end up in the rough, but that the rough isn't quite as bad. He said the only thing is, with the rough being shorter, if your ball goes through the rough, they have a fair amount of native area, Pat.
Oh, the native area. Yes.
Fair amount of native area. And just like the native area on the Tour Junkies podcast, he said when you're in the native area, you don't really know what you're going to get. And he didn't even know who we are, and he said that. So I thought that was pretty cool. I said, no, Andy, you're right. You don't know what you're going to get in the native area. So anyway, that's a little bit of a hint there from the head golf pro at TPC San Antonio. Some things to think about when you're picking your players, key stats, things like that. So for me, we'll get into some key stats. Pat, I took away from my conversation with Andy that I'm going to lean a little more towards the guys who can bomb it a little bit than I originally thought. Not saying I'm strictly targeting those guys, but when I originally started doing some course research here over the weekend, you know, I was strictly looking at those accuracy kind of guys, the ball striker kind of guys, and a little bit like Heritage last week, somewhat ignoring the Bombers. But driving distance is not a key stat for me this week, but strokes gained off the tee is, and you can gain those strokes in a number of ways, including distance. So strokes gained off the tee is important for me, as well as strokes gained approach. He talked about these greens do have different levels on them. You do have to be able to hit it to the right level on that green. He You like that. So I think strokes gained approach, scrambling is always, and then birdie or better. So kind of four staple stats for me. And then I did a little bit more of a deep dive this week into some Vegas odds. So, hey-o, little change up. I mean, I always look at Vegas odds a little bit, but I took a little bit more time. I had a little more time to do some research early today, which normally I don't get done until, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday. Had a little bit of time and found some interesting odds plays that I think could be of note. Pat, what about you? Anything different on the key stats, or are you ready to get into it?
No, I'm with you. Let's get right into it.
All right. Well, it's paid off in the over the last few weeks to kind of fade the top tier and the most expensive guys. You know, especially in a weak field event. Matt Kuchar at 11.5. You know, I don't know. Like, it's just not real. Now, he did have a good Sunday at the Heritage, but again, I don't think you have to pay up for Matt Kuchar. I don't mind paying up for some of these other guys. However, most of my lineups will start in the 9K range, but I am going to pick two guys in the 10K range because I know that, you know, if you do enough lineups, you're going to want to have some guys in this category. And my two guys in the 10K are going to be Charlie Hoffman at 10.7 and Brooks Koepka at 10.9. Now, Brooks is going to be, I think, fairly unpopular. A lot of people are going to say, holy crap, Brooks Koepka, the second price guy on DraftKings, considering his year, is way too much. And that is fine. I get that. And if you want to fade Brooks Koepka 100%, I get it. Like I said, I think he found something in were they in Dallas for the WGC match play?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it Houston? No, one of the other. He found something there. He found something at the match play. He took it to the Masters to do a T11. And I just think at 10.9 for the ownership, I like it. Will I play him in cash? Absolutely not. Don't think you need to. But I think the caliber of player in a field like this is interesting. The other one, Charlie Hoffman, just freaking loves this golf course. He's past champion. He's played it 11 times. Never missed the cut. 5 top 10s. At this golf course, checks the box in scoring, strokes gained off the tee, and strokes gained approach. I think Hoffman's a slam dunk. You know, those are going to be only two in that 10K range. I'm into. I mean, I think Jimmy Walker might could talk me into Jimmy, but other than that, that's it for me. Anybody in the 10K for you?
Well, I am with you. I think that for the most part, I'm fading this category this week. But I do like Brooks Koepka, especially as a GPP play. I think he is going to be low-owned and could easily tear up this course. So I do agree with you on Brooks Koepka. I also think, you know, don't overlook Ryan Moore at 10-2. I think, again, you've got bigger names around him for the most part with Grace. He always seems to fit every stat category, although he hasn't been, you know, he finished good last week, but you got Jimmy Walker, Hoffman. I'm with you, but I just feel like Ryan Moore, this could be a really good week for him. If you look at his recent form, it's been pretty good. He's only played here once in the last several years, but the only time he played here was in 2012, or at least just in the last few years, and he finished in the top 10. So I think Ryan Moore, you know, coming off a 9th place finish at the Masters, and then he's made his last 5 straight cuts with you know, again, a few top 20s in there. So I think, you know, to me, I'm not as big on Ryan Moore as a cash play, but I do like him as a GPP because I think he's going to be under-owned. And I do think, for the most part, people are going to fade this category. And so that's another reason I think you should look at Moore. But that's about it
okay,
for me.
That's here. Enough about Ryan Moore. I can't listen to you ramble on about Ryan Moore anymore. Can't take
hey,
it.
Hey, I'm telling you.
Okay. 9K range. My favorite play easily.
Brendan Steele.
Brendan Steele. It is.
I knew
five out of six cuts at this event. 3 top 10s in those five cuts made. First win on tour came here in 2011. Checks the box in scoring. Strokes gained off the tee and scrambling. He's in good form. Brendan Steele not missed the cut all year. 2 top 10s this year. I think he's a lock to make to make the cut. I think a lot of my cash lineups will start with Steele. And really, despite ownership in GPPs, which we'll have a little better idea of on Wednesday, and we can talk to you about in the chat room on the Shot in the Arm Wednesday night, I don't really care. I'm still going to have a lot of Brendan Steele, so he's one of my favorites. A close second favorite in the 9K range that is going to be on a ton of teams for me is Adam Hadwin at 9,100. There's been some people wanting to jump off the Adam Hadwin train just because it's like it won't stop, and you figure it's going to stop here eventually. He's not missed a cut all year. He's made 9 of 9 cuts. He's got 3 top tens. You know, 36 at the Masters his first time out is pretty freaking impressive. 22nd at the Heritage last week, including a 66 on round two. Literally checks every single stat category I mentioned at the top. So I love Hadwin at 9,100. Again, I think he's a cash staple. And even in GPPs, I don't care his ownership. I'll differentiate somewhere else. Those are the only two plays for me in the 9K range. Anything different for you?
Wow. I mean, there's a lot of agreement here early on. Hopefully that changes because I like it when we disagree. But I will say this. I do think that Kevin Chappell is certainly worth a look. Again, he's got a great course history here. He was, I think, fourth last year and then has a second place finish here. And, he's, again, good recent form. He's made his last 5 straight cuts. He was in the top 10 in his last tournament. So I think Kevin Chappell is another one that's I will say I wish he was just slightly cheaper. But I still think, again, at 9,400, in this field, he's one of the better plays. So there you go. I love Adam Hadwin this week at 9,100, though. I'm totally with you there. He is my favorite play in this category.
I don't mind the Kevin Chappell pick. I can't be mad at you for that one. He's not one I'm going to target, but I don't mind it. In the 8K range, I'm going to give you, and this is, again, like I think I'm starting off kind of chalky. Hopefully we can differentiate a little bit here later. But in the 8K range, there is a guy. And he's the only guy, so you're going to know who he is. But at $8,400, Tony Finau on Vegas odds has the same odds to win as Patrick Reed, who's priced at $9,700. $1,300 difference between those two guys, both with the same Vegas odds to win this event. Finau checks the box in scoring and obviously strokes gained off the tee. In good form, love Tony Finau, another cash play and GPP, don't care the ownership. I'm rolling with Finau 100%. I kind of like what I saw out of Ollie Schneiderjans, except for a little bit of Sunday putting woes at the Heritage. Checks the box in birdie, birdie or better, strokes gained approach as well, but a third place, all 4 rounds in the 60s. At the Heritage, coming off the missed cut at the Shell a few weeks prior. I kind of like Ollie here. I think he can do something. I don't know about a cash lock, but I don't mind it. The last play for me in the $8,000 range is a guy that I'm typically on, and that is Johnny Vegas. Johnny V, $8,100. I know. Checks the box in scoring, strokes gained off the tee, and scrambling. Also a University of Texas guy. You know, don't know how many rounds he's played in San Antonio, but I would guess he's fairly comfortable in the state of Texas, playing in some windy conditions, can definitely take advantage of his length. And when he's on, he's really on. I don't like him as a cash play, but I do like him in a lot of GPP lineups. Could be a great pivot off of Schneiderjans if a lot of people are jumping on him after the good week at the Heritage. So Johnny V at 8,100, Schneiderjans and Finau for me. That is it in the 8K range. What about you?
Well, I am with you on Ollie. By the way, there's something about, I guess, you know, Davis Love used to not wear a hat, I think, a ton.
Don't get on the hat thing. Like, don't.
But it just drives me
you
nuts.
You sound so old. But you sound so freaking old.
That he doesn't wear a hat, and he doesn't look right without a hat. Like, some other people could look better without a hat, but he doesn't look right. Drives me up the freaking wall. But I do like him this week. I think he could be a pretty good play, you know, especially at 8,200. But I don't get the hat thing. It's just like he's trying to draw attention to himself. Just wear the damn hat. All right. Here's okay. Who I hate here, by
but
the
don't
way.
Wear it backwards, because Pat doesn't like that either.
All right. Well, speaking of that, Billy Horschel. Don't like him at 8,900. I think a lot of people are going to take him this week, but he just he has good course history here. But I'm fading Billy Horschel this week. I just... And he's playing with Matt Every and all excited about playing with him at the Zurich Classic. What?
I mean, how in the world? I saw him tweeting that, and I'm like,
Are you excited about
Matt
that?
Every hey, guess be, what? Matt Every no should chance. Be tweeting about you, Billy. Matt Every should be tweeting about you.
Yeah.
Even as bad as he's been. Who is excited about playing with Matt Every? Just, I guess just because they're Gator boys. Like, why would that trump you making money on the Zurich Classic? Like, I would assume, I don't know, maybe they get an appearance fee or something, but I don't know how this is going to work with the new Zurich format. But if they don't get to, like, if they don't get very far, or if there's a cut after Friday with, like, the top teams, I haven't done any research into it, so if I sound ignorant, forgive me, but I don't know how it's going to work. But if they don't make any money, like, that's all Billy Ho's fault. Who would pair up with Matt Every?
Nobody. When I saw that tweet, I about fell out of my chair. I was like, you got to be kidding. And you're excited about this? Like, are you, like, this is just a vacation, I guess, because you're not planning on winning any money.
I guess they're just going to walk down the fairways and nerd out on the days of, like, Danny Werfel and Jabbar Gaffney or something.
And wear whale pants or whatever it was at Billy Horse's, octopus pants.
Octopus. Mm-hmm. All right, anyway, we don't like Billy Ho. Anybody else in the 8K range you like?
No, I like Byung-Hun Ahn this week at 8,500. I think, again, you look at him, and he has made 8 straight cuts. The guy is just, again, I think he's always overlooked. He's like, he should be played every week. Why not? It's 8,500.
Well, I'm with you. Like, I think Han's a pretty good player. I do think something's off this year. Like, he is making cuts, but not a lot of high finishes. So I think that's the issue with Han at 8,500. Now, it is a weaker field, but just not a lot of high finishes for him.
Yeah.
One top
but
10
he tends
out of
to,
8 events.
He kind of has a few bad rounds, but I don't know. I still like him a lot. Another guy that I will throw out there that I don't think you mentioned. Well, you mentioned Finau, so I'm with you on there. I guess that's about it. Kevin Na, I'm a little worried about because he had a 16 here on a hole a couple of years ago. Do you remember that?
Yes, that was awesome.
Yeah. But that's really about it. I think Luke Donald's up there at 8,700. I think he's overpriced this week. Everybody's freaking out about the Heritage and whatever else, but I'm just not going to go that route. So, yeah, so here's what your takeaways are from the 8,000s for me. I hate Billy Horschel. I hate that he's playing with Matt Every in the freaking Zurich Classic, and I like Byung-Hun Ahn, and I'm with you on Finau. So there you go.
Outstanding. Thank you. All right, let's get into the 7K range. This is chock full of some interesting plays to me. I will try to keep it to a handful here. So the first play that I love is a guy who checks the box in scoring and strokes gained off the tee. Just continues to have a solid rookie year, and that is JJ Spahn coming off a T6 at the Heritage. He's actually kind of a bomber. So, like, for him to do that well at the Heritage, I think is interesting. I mean, I think JJ Spahn has the upside to win an event like this and totally pull a Wesley Bryan, rookie on tour, win an event. I think Spahn is that kind of player. In fact, Pat, I don't know if you were there or if you were walking with us at the time, but when we played Sage Valley with Wilcox, we asked him about guys that are rookies this year, and he specifically mentioned JJ Spahn and said he felt like Spahn was one of the best young players, you know, rookies out on tour this year and felt like he was the real deal. I just really like Spahn at 7,800. At 7,700, I can't get off a little Marty Laird, who's former winner of this event, made 4 out of 5 cuts here, 2 top 10s, checks the box in scoring, checks the box in scrambling as well. I like Martin Laird here. Probably not in cash, but probably have a little bit of him in a GPP. Luke List at 7,600. I'm jumping on List even after this missed cut. He did shoot a 67 in round 2 of the Heritage, which I think is interesting for him to do. Checks a box in strokes gained off the tee. Obviously a good scorer. Interesting, your boy Luke List, same odds, same Vegas odds to win as Ollie Schniederjans. So you've got List at 7,600, Ollie at 8,200. You know, $600 difference there on DraftKings, exact same odds to win. I think that presents a little bit of value there for List. So he's one that I'll be targeting in DraftKings as well. And then finally, I'm going to give you another odds anomaly, I think. You mentioned Byung-Hun Ahn. You walked right into my trap here. Byung-Hun An, $8,500 on DraftKings. Keegan Bradley, $7,600 on DraftKings. $900 difference. Checks the box and strokes gained off the tee. Exact same Vegas odds to win this event. Finished 44th at the Heritage. Did have a couple low rounds there in the middle, though. 15th at the Shell in Texas. So I think Keegan's interesting at 7,600 as well. Those are my guys in that top half. I'll let you fill in any gaps, and then maybe we can hit some of these bottom end guys, although I don't have a whole lot in the bottom end.
Well, I am one of the guys you mentioned, I think, and we talk about on the shot in the arm on RotoGrinders are trash to treasure picks. I think Luke List could be in that category. I think, I think people are going to be off of him after the miscut last week, but you know, this course could fit him, especially with what you said with talking with the pro out there. He's a bomber. You know, again, he checks, except for last week, you know, his recent form has been pretty good. So I do like List at 7,600. I think there's something to be said for Ian Poulter's situation right now. You know, he's at 7,900, right at the top of this range, and he has to make $31,000 this week in order to keep his tour card. So, again, whether or not he fits this course or not or whatever you say, I mean, I think he's got a lot that's riding on this week. So there's part of me that wants to just take him as just because of that narrative. But if you look at his last 8 of 9 cuts that he's played on tour, or last 9 tournaments he's played on court on tour, he's made 8 of 9 cuts. You know, he had a good week last week at the Heritage. I feel like he could have been better, but he got a little squirrely at the end of his round when I think he was just trying almost too hard to finish in that top 10 range. But I think Poulter could be a pretty good play this week. So that's if we're talking to the top half of the range, but I got a few guys at the bottom that I do like. Now, Poulter has only played this tournament once in the last 7 years. He did make the cut. He was 37th. So there you go.
All right, so who are the rest of your guys in the 7K range?
All right, two guys I'm going to throw out there. Love our buddy Beef Johnston at 7,000, right there at the bottom. Again, he's a great ball striker. I think this course could fit him very well. He obviously doesn't have a lot of history here. But, again, you look at a guy like him, he's got pretty good recent form. So I think Beef is a good play. I love his price at 7,000. You know, you look at his last 3 events. He missed a cut a few weeks ago, finished 64th last week, but then a top 10 4 weeks ago. So I do like that at I guess that was at the Puerto Rico Open. And then last but not least, the grandson of Arnold Palmer, Sam Saunders. He is coming in under the radar almost every week, I feel like, except for the Arnold Palmer Invitational, where everybody was talking about him. But if you look at his last 3 starts, he's got all 3 were in the top 20. He's got a 5th, a 20th, and an 11th. 11th last week at the Heritage, which is, again, a ball striker's course. So I think that Saunders at 7,000 is a very good play here. So there you go. That's the 7,000.
Totally disagree with Sam Saunders. Like, the guy's just been putting his lights out. It's $7,000 for Sam Saunders. Even in an event like this, there's no way I can take him. Couldn't disagree anymore. But that's okay. That's what it's all about. Couple quick hits for me in the bottom 7s. I always love Cam Smith. He's an Aussie. They play well in Texas, blah, blah, blah. He scores a lot. Cam Smith, that's all. Brandon Hagee also intrigues me a little bit at 7,000. Missed the cut at the Puerto Rico, which is a little shocking considering a weak field event, but definitely a bomber if, you know, could take advantage of the length on this longer course as opposed to Heritage. But I like Brandon Hagee at 7,000 as a pivot. I don't think a whole lot of people will be talking about him. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's the last guy in the 7s that I like. Getting into the 6K range, like, I got to say, I'm not going to have a whole lot of guys here. I really think that the 9, 8, and 7K range is where I'm going to live. I'm not going to have a whole lot of, you know, Charlie Hoffman, Brooks Koepka lineups. I'll have, yeah, I might have one of those guys in a lineup and then just stick to that lower 7s. But there's not a whole lot of guys in here I like. A couple of guys I do think have some maybe inappropriate values as far as Vegas odds again. Bud Cauley, obviously playing well at the Heritage. I mean, was in like the second to last group or something on Sunday. Shot a 63 on Thursday at the Heritage. He's at 6,900. Vegas odds has him the same odds to win as Cam Smith, Scott Piercy, Stuart Sink, for example, who's at 7,400. So $500 price difference there on DraftKings between Cauley and Sink. I think that's an interesting play at 6,900, although it could be a little popular after an interesting weekend. I think John is one that might be a little under the radar. He's played here five times. He's made four cuts. He's had one top 10. He's a good scrambler, 6,700, you know, GPP flyer. You know, a guy who checked three of the four boxes for me, which is weird. At $6,600, DA points. maybe the Puerto Rico is giving it to him, but he checked the box in scoring, strokes gained approach, and scrambling. You know, he was T23 last time we were in Texas for the Shell Houston Open. Missed the cut last week with 271s, so not horrible. So just maybe a GPP to make the cut. Let me play some 10K guys. You can throw in a little DA points. I don't know. I kind of thought that one was interesting. And then the last one that I like that also checked three of the four stat categories for me at $6,500, checking the box in scoring, strokes gained approach, and scrambling, Tom Hoagie, 65th at the Shell Houston.
He's got a good course history here too.
Hoagie kind of popped for me at 6,500. I'll give you one. Last one is Matt Jones. I think Matt Jones is pretty underpriced on DraftKings, especially $6,300. He's made three or four cuts this year. 49th at the Shell. He's priced to win right up there with Beef, actually. Same Vegas odds to win as Beef. So Beef's at 7,000 on DraftKings. Jones at 6,300. I think that's a little low for Matt Jones. I'll have him in some GPPs. In those lineups where I have Hoffman and Koepka, I'll definitely have like Hoffman, Koepka, Jones stack. That's probably what I'll do. That's it for me. I'm done.
Wow, there was one guy out of all that 6,000 range that I'm surprised you did not mention.
Who dat?
And that is a guy that has been on this show before, in JT Poston.
JT Poston, okay. I'm going to fade JT Poston this week.
Are you really? Because I like him this week. Again, you know, you look at him. Wow. Why? I know he's not a bomber, but if he, I mean, just look at it where he is right now. I mean,
don't get me wrong. Like, his game is incredible. Like, oh, he's playing so well. I don't like the non-bomber aspect. I don't like the T55 at the Shell Houston his last time out with a 77 on Sunday. And I know he's going to be popular. That's basically why. It's just because I'm going to go with some more chalky guys up at the top and middle. I feel like Poston I'm not going to be able to play a lot of because I think he will be a little chalky. So I'm fading him. A complete fade.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, I love him, actually, this week. I think Poston's a very good play. Another guy, and I'm with you, I think that I'm going to be very heavy on that middle range this week as far as strategy is concerned, and that's the 7, 8, 9 range. I'm going to mention another, you know, we talked about Hadwin, another Canadian. I love some Nick Taylor this week. Again, you look at his recent form. Last week he finished 22nd at the Heritage. He's made 7 of 10 cuts this year, so I think Nick Taylor is one of those guys that always seems to just kind of fall under the radar that nobody pays attention to, but he's a good player. He could very well definitely return value this week, so that's probably about it. I mean, I just don't – this 6,000 range just doesn't really excite me all of that much.
By the way, Nick Taylor, same Vegas odds to win as Beef as well. So yeah. 6,500 for Nick Taylor, 7,000 for B, $500 savings, same Vegas odds. Interesting. That's it.
All I got.
All right. That wraps up the Valero Texas Open 2017. Good show, Pat. Good show. Don't forget the iTunes contest. Knock that out. Next 100 people, you get a free t-shirt, free hat of your choice, free polo of your choice, two ball markers. It's good stuff. And if you are a fantasy draft guy, check out the Tour Junkies Listener League. We've already sent out the invites. Get in. If you need to get in, email us. We'll tell you how to get in. David Barnett, Tour Junkies. See ya. Out.